Our scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, verses 23 to 29. Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid," says Jesus. "Really?" thinks his disciples. "I mean, come on, Jesus," thinks Judas. Not Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed Jesus. He's already gone and has left. But the other Judas who was a disciple, the one we don't talk about as much. "Just really, Jesus," he thinks. "Don't you know what's happening here? And you're telling us to not let our hearts be troubled and to not let them be afraid? The peace stuff was already a little much, and now this. After all, we know that something is going on. There was the big parade on Sunday with palms and hosannas. There have been confrontations at the temple this week. And just earlier this very evening, you washed our feet and told Peter he would deny you and said one of us was going to betray you. And the other Judas stormed out. And then you started talking and it was all sort of confusing. And I asked, Lord, how is it that you reveal yourself to us and not to the world? And then this was the answer you gave, which didn't even really answer the question. And in the midst of all this, you tell us that we can receive peace, that our hearts don't have to be troubled and we don't have to be afraid, even though you keep saying you are leaving us, even though something bad is clearly about to happen. Somehow, you're still going to give us peace. And so the only thing Judas and these other disciples can come up with is that if this is going to happen, this peace, it's going to have to come from somewhere else. It can't come from their situation. It can't come from the world. It can't be brought on by their own doing. This kind of peace that Jesus is promising here on this very night he is going to be arrested, it can only be given by God. So the disciples, they decide to keep listening to Jesus because they know they need peace in this moment. And they know that they aren't going to get it without some help. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid, says Jesus. Really, we think? Like, come on, Jesus, don't you know what's happening here? And you're telling us to not let our hearts be troubled and to not let them be afraid? After all, this promise of peace from Jesus, it probably sounds just as crazy to us today as it did to those disciples all those years ago. I know that Jesus isn't here in the flesh anymore, but I trust that he at least knows what's going on in our world, and now is not the easiest time to find peace. It doesn't matter who you are or what you believe or where you live or your age or your political views or your experience. Everybody can look at something going on in our world today and see a lot more anxiety, stress, and conflict than peace. And that doesn't even include all the things that go on in each of our individual lives that cause us to lack peace. Job stress and broken relationships, trouble with kids, medical issues, you name it. We have a lot of reasons for our hearts to be troubled and afraid. And because of that, we try so hard to get peace in our lives. And as I read Jesus' words about peace in this scripture, I don't think there are any of us who think, I don't want that. Instead, I think we think, I don't know how to get that. After all, we try so many things to get us peace. The problem is often when we try these things, we end up trying for peace as the world gives. When I was in elementary school, my parents started thinking about moving to a new house. There were some new houses being built in a new development in our town around this time, which was something that didn't happen very often where we lived. In fact, these are still the new houses in our town, like 25 years later. And so after looking at a few houses, my parents settled on one and they started to make offers. I don't remember how long this took exactly, but it must have been several weeks to a month of my parents and the seller making offers back and forth, because I remember going over to tour the house several times. Obviously, this was a time when the housing market was much different than it is today. But after all this time, the seller wouldn't agree to a price that my dad thought was reasonable, so we never ended up actually moving. Once I was talking to my mom about this time as an adult, and she told me how during this process, she started to find herself believing that if we could only buy this house and move, that everything would be good in our family. She started seeing gaining this new house as a way for peace. And so she put her hope in that. And it was only when that didn't happen and years went by that she saw that actually buying a new house wasn't going to bring peace at all. Practically, we wouldn't have been able to afford to do some of the things we did as a family. Within 10 years of buying that house, my parents would have been empty nesters with a house that was too big for them. But even without those practical things, buying a new house wasn't ever going to bring peace. Yet that's often what the world tells us. If we just have a bigger and nicer house, we'll be good, and then we'll have peace. If we just get that promotion or that new job, then we'll have peace. If we just get into that good college, then we'll have peace. If our 401k does well, then we'll have peace. If the candidate that we vote for wins, then we'll have peace. If our kid does well in school or makes the travel team, then we'll have peace. But in reality, none of those things will ever give us peace. Now, it would be great if they did. Trust me, if even a tiny part of me could read this scripture and think that we could get peace this way, that we could somehow work our way to peace, that we could gain it or earn it, I would definitely tell you to do that. But that's not the way that the peace of Jesus works. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid, says Jesus. Really, we say, what would it look like to try it Jesus' way? How would we actually go about getting the peace that Jesus is promising here? Well, the peace of Jesus is only given and received. This peace is never earned or gained. We cannot strive for it. We cannot get it ourselves. We cannot attain it by being stronger, better, or faster. And maybe that's actually good news, because it means that peace isn't up to us. It means that peace isn't dependent on our own circumstances or situations, but that peace is a gift from God, a free gift given to us with no expectation of return. And this peace, we begin to realize, much like the disciples, if it really is given, it has to come from somewhere else. It has to come from Jesus. And that's good news, because it means that Jesus can show up in any situation, in any circumstance, in any part of our lives, and give peace to us. And that means that nothing about our situation or our circumstance or part of our lives has to change in order for us to get peace. Now, of course, this might seem like both good news and bad news. Bad news because this whole peace thing doesn't promise to change your circumstances. When Jesus says that he offers peace, he isn't saying that whatever bad thing is causing you trouble is going to just go away. Instead, he's promising that you might have peace as you go through that thing. But here's why it is what I think is the better promise, that no matter what you are experiencing, Jesus can bring peace even to that experience. That sometimes you're going to be crying in sorrow and experiencing the peace of Christ at the same time, and that's okay. There's nothing in our world or in our lives that's outside of the gift of peace. The gift of peace from Jesus is freely given. So how do we receive that peace? If it doesn't come from gaining or earning or doing better, how do we actually know that we're receiving peace? How can we experience peace when our hearts feel so troubled? Well, we experience peace when we keep Christ at the front of our minds. When through the power of the Holy Spirit, we remember and keep the promises of Christ in the front of our minds. I was talking to some friends this week who have a toddler daughter. They told me that they had just watched a video about toddlers and temper tantrums, because apparently that's what parents of toddlers do in their spare time. They said they learned that when a toddler is having a tantrum, it's the back of their brain that's doing all the work. This is the part of the brain that's responsible for emotions and physical reactions. Missing in action is the front of the brain, which is responsible for all logical thought. And so the video said you have to get your toddler to engage in the front of their brain by asking them to think about logical things like naming things in the room or counting or saying ABCs. Now, I'm not trying to teach you how to parent toddlers, so I have no idea if that works or not. And quite frankly, it struck me as a little skeptical to try to logically reason with toddlers, but I let my friends have it, and I didn't ask them how it was going because I didn't want to hurt their feelings. But it struck me that the same thing is happening to us when our hearts are troubled, and it might work something for us because we're not toddlers. The back of our brains, the flight or fight, the emotional and the physical response is working overtime. It's why we cry or we lash out or we disengage. So what if during those times we bring Christ to the front of our minds? We actually use the front of our brains to think of Christ. Perhaps you memorize a scripture or some song lyrics to recite when you need peace. Perhaps you learn a short prayer like, "Be with me, Holy Spirit," or "Calm my heart, Lord." Perhaps you call a friend who brings you back to peace. Perhaps you light a candle or write down a prayer or do some other action when you need peace. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid, says Jesus. Really, we can proclaim, because Jesus gives us peace. Not like the world where we have to try to earn it or gain it, but Jesus gives us the free gift of peace. So try it Jesus's way. And receive the free gift of peace. Peace that can enter any situation or circumstance or part of your life and through the presence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." Let's pray. Holy and gracious God, we are thankful that through Christ, we can experience peace, no matter what is going on in our lives. Lord, help our hearts not to be troubled or afraid, but by keeping Christ at the front of our minds, experience your peace. Amen.